I think, and tell me what you think, but I think out of three, look at, think about some of these threes that we just seen in the playoffs.
You got to be able to put the ball on the ground, though.
Michael or OG, you talk about Neesmith, you're talking about J-Dub, you're talking about, you know, McDaniels in Minnesota.
But I'll say this, bro, to you for real. They move athletically how he wants them to move, those guys. And I think that's the biggest difference, because even with him getting to a pull-up jumper or a midi, it don't look the same. The off the bounce, it don't look as like, okay, I'm used to one drill, pull up side. He don't have that in his DNA, in his bag like that.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it just looks differently. But Neek, for sure, you're like, oh, okay. But that's the wing we look at. We think of, like, you know, just, I would say example, like a KD, a Melo, those guys, how they move with the dribble. Yeah. Even I think Neek hit the drop step, reverse pivot, turn, fade away off the foot. Like, that, those moves, yes, we don't see any of those from Keegan. And that's probably the biggest difference as far as how they move on the floor. Because they're both athletic. I would say that, though. But Neek's flow and movement is like, no, I've been doing this at this spot for a while. You can tell I'm comfortable at that.
Neek gets the ball on the perimeter, mid-post, triple threat. He got something where he can go to work on you.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, he can go to work. He can dribble the ball, or he can stay in that triple threat, jab at you, rip through, spin.
Yeah, you see it,
spin,
though.
Like, he has all that. I could be wrong. I've been seeing Keegan since Iowa, his first 3 years in the NBA. I could be wrong. Maybe it is a situation where his growth is being stunted by the – fine. I don't believe that, but if that's what you want to say, fine. I haven't seen Keegan with that type of bag, and that doesn't mean he can't be a good basketball player or be the type of person you want on your team, because I want him on this team. But I do think if you're going to play the three and you're going to be my starting three on a really good team, I need you to be able to put the ball on the deck and create a little bit the way we saw Neek do it in summer league, and the way we've seen some of these guys in the playoffs. Like I said, the Neesmiths, the Bridges, the McDaniels, the J-Dubs, those guys. That's what I'm looking for out of my three, and I don't know if Keegan can provide that at the three.
So I guess lineup-wise would be the key, right? Because if you put him at the four, though, who's starting? Who starts the three right now? Like you said,
DeMar, and I'm not even saying that to say Neek is starting. I'm talking about moving forward. Like, that's, I'm a proponent of Keegan at the four.
But even if starting him and DeMar, there's less movement out there from the wing, right? Think about it. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh man, if Keegan already doesn't do this, DeMar for sure is not that. We're got two guys on the court.
No, Keegan creates. I mean, DeMar creates on the off the bat.
But it's still not going to be the same as Neek. Like, he's not going to turn face. It's not as fluid, right? It's not athletic, I think, right? It's not the same.
It's more than Keegan, though.
That's what I'm saying, though. So, really,
and
Keegan
got to be honest with you, he got more in the bag than Neek today, DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, but I don't.
That's, he got more in the bag.
I would say veteran-wise, but, I mean, thinking where we want to go, like, I would say this, watching the game play again yesterday, the spacing and the way it should be, the way the NBA is played, even watching Neek and Isaac Jones, like, as far as getting to those spots or playing off the wings, I mean, it's the truth. DeMar's style of play is diminishing, like, the way for that type of player, right? Nobody's going to get that type of player because the game's not played that way anymore. Mm-hmm. So, spacing-wise, I'm like, again, Neek didn't shoot well the last two games. However, you saw some of those attributes there, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what the NBA 3-4 guys look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, it's just, you can't put, I mean, I just going to be, like I said, man, just see where they go with that, man, and see who takes those reins as far as that position, because, again, you got to get up the floor. You got to be able to get him down, get to the rim, but also you got to be able to catch and shoot and put the ball on the ground when they close out, which I, you know, I mean, it's.
And that's what I'm saying. TCG in the chat says KC2 focus on position basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be positionless. It's about the mix of styles, not trying to get a standard 1-5. We can get positionless if you want. I'm telling you, 2-3s, like the guys on the wing, they need to be able to put the ball on the deck, create their own shot, get to the line off the bounce.
But even
they need to be able to do that. And once again, this is how I see basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's the end all be all.
Yeah.
If TCG or anybody else sees it a different way and wants to build their roster a certain way, that's fine too. I'm telling you, I like my threes to be able to create off the bounce, to be able to create on all three levels. There are things that Keegan does clearly, obviously, because he's more established and a better player today.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that he does better than Neek. I'm not even here to say Neek is a better player.
Right.
I'm just saying some of the things that he does, I think, is more so what I like to see from a three as opposed to where Keegan is.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that Keegan does, like the way he's able to shoot, his catch and shoot ability, I think that's perfect for a stretch four. So the whole point of it all is I don't want to move Keegan to the three. Like, I'm not, I think he's fine at the four position and let him learn how to play there. The game is different too. Like I said, you're not going up against Charles Oakley's and Kevin Willis's at the four. You got, like I said, OG and Mikal were switching off between the three and the four. So those are the guys he's going up against. He's still going to be playing some type of wing game, but you need creators next to Keegan for him to be most effective. If you put him at the three, you're taking one of those creators off the floor.
And those guys you named, though, bro, the big thing is the athleticism. The way they move on the floor and play, you can't – I mean, it comes off the page or it comes off the screen, right? Mm-hmm. Keegan, you could watch a Keegan game and say, oh, he dunked one, and go back to – like, chill mode.
You don't have to wiggle.
It's not there.
Yeah. This is why I want to have the disclaimer every time. This doesn't mean I don't want Keegan to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't want him off the team. I don't want him on the bench. Nothing like that. I just want him to stay at the four.
Yeah.
And I know a big topic of discussion has always been like they're playing him out of position. He needs to be at the three.
Right.
And I see a guy like Neek and the way he moves out there on the perimeter. And I'm like, nah, that's how a three is supposed to move. And I don't think Keegan can move like that on the offensive end.
No, it's a big difference, I believe. Yeah. I think the biggest thing, too, is but also how effective. I mean, can he get back to being effective? Again, was it the first year we just caught everybody off guard? That's why we're so high. Or, you know, playing style, all that is going to be definitely interesting, again, to see, man, just how much space. Because he does need assist from others to make his job easier offensively.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the defensive part, I don't know. Do we somewhat say dig our own grave as far as putting him in that? Oh yeah, he's our best defender. Da, da, da. Well, I mean, hell, it's tough to play deep guard the best player every night and try to give you guys 17 something a night. So, which role does he fall into?
I think he can get back to the efficiency that he had in his first season. I don't think it's an admiration that he shot 41% or whatever he did from three. I think that's who he can be.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the way he shoots the basketball, and I think it's repeatable. I think this is who he can be in this league. What he shot the last couple of years, I think that's an admiration. You know, I think he can be a better shooter, especially when you get situations where, you're going to get these wide open looks based on people having the attention on DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine or Sabonis and all these other guys. Now you got a point guard and shooter who can distribute the ball. I think you're going to get those open looks, and I think Keegan can knock him down. I think he's a dead-eye shooter, but I think he's perfect. I think he's best at being a stretch four in this league.
I think the biggest thing you said is the point guard. Mm-hmm. His success, even came early as rookie year, I get it, but it was the point guard play, the downhill attacks, getting paint touches, that opened up for him a lot that first year. Yeah, again, people came back, kind of, had more film on him, probably adjusted a little bit. However, when the point guard play drifted or the style of play got, the space was less, he struggled. Mm-hmm. He struggled, right, for a guy who needs space to be effective or create opportunities for him. So definitely excited to see what happens with the PG, like on the court with them, a facilitator, but also hopefully, though, Schroeder still has to be able to demand two people.
Mm-hmm.
I got to create two, especially knowing I got Keegan there. Keegan needs me. I got to create for him, right? So he's highly important.
Yeah.
He's highly important, bro, to see what happens.
And look, the versatility of a Keegan Murray doesn't mean that he's stuck all game playing fours, guarding fours, and all this other stuff.
They're going to switch anyway.
Yeah, he can. He absolutely can pick and choose his spots, Doug Christie can, about when he puts the lineups together where Keegan is playing at the three and all this other stuff. Like, he can play there, throughout a game. I just wouldn't have him start or finish there at the three. In the closing lineup, I got Keegan as more of a stretch four in a closing lineup.
Yeah, got a rebound. For sure. I would say that based upon, personnel-wise. And I'm thinking, like, man, you could put Schroeder, the Rook, and Keegan on the floor at the same time. Keon, I'm like, offensively probably struggle.
Wow, that's the thing.
That's the thing. Yesterday was frustrating.
Yeah. They had a rough game yesterday. All those guys out there had a rough game.
I know it was a long week in Vegas. Some of the rookies probably had enjoyed their time out there, too. I get it. But the lack of scoring earlier for me was like, all right, let's get this thing going. But however, the effort, some guys trying to find their deals too. The effort was there too, so they got going. But just, it's going to be interesting to see the identity.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're ready for this, but I definitely, Carter, man, it's a question mark, man.
We're going to get to Devin, man, because we got to have another discussion, man. We got to get to Devin. But let me hear from my man TC. TC said he got thoughts about Keegan and the Kings. He's on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. TC, what's up, my guy?
Hey, what's up, man? Coach JC, hey, what's up with my two guys, man? My
what's
two
good? What's
good, man? What's up, bro?
Hey, listen, just vibing, bro. So, look, I've seen what I need to see from Summer League. In my opinion, did we want the ring? Did I want the ring? Yes. Was I frustrated last night? Did I catch myself? Hey, Kitty, JC, did I catch myself getting angry?
Me too.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a diehard, bro. So, I fell back because I seen what I need to see. Maxine, you a dog, but I want you to be stronger at rebounding and blocking shots. Mm. Neek, Doug is going to work with him with the on ball defense one-on-one without fouling, right, playing defense because he got everything else. When he did that step-back three-pointer, bro, in a corner, I thought about Jason Tatum, Kobe Bryant. I said, man, bro, is he doing that? Was he getting his back?
That shot was tough.
It was smooth, too, though.
I didn't think about Jason Tatum. But that shot was tough. That was tough.
So, the reason I say that, Kenny, is because Jason Tatum be doing them step backs like that all the time. And when I looked at it, I said, bro, we got us one. So, hey, y'all, I see what I need to see. We're slower running the point guard, bro. I think we're going to be straight. But I'm with y'all with Neek starting at the small and Keegan might have to play the stretch four, bro, because his movements is too slow, bro. But he can shoot. He can play defense. He's just off the bounce. And all that's just not his game, bro. And he's never going to get there. I don't care who's in front of him, who's in back of him, bro. That's just him.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
shout out my
you
man,
heard
TC.
It, TC.
Shout out TC. Now, TC, I didn't say we start Neek at the three. I didn't say that. I didn't say we start Neek at the three. And I don't want to put too much on a young fella.
No, Kobe Bryant and Jason Tatum.
Hey, he said it with conviction, too.
He's got it.
Conviction.
He said
it with conviction, bro.
Kobe Bryant, Jason Tatum, we've got one of them once.
That quarter funny, three was bro. Tough. That was tough right there, though. Yeah, that was tough. But, no, I ain't starting Neek at the three. I ain't doing that just yet.
He was serious, too.
That's the whole point was that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
From a three.
But it just stood off the page, bro. It literally did. You can tell the difference, though. If they're – attributes, whatever, but playing styles are totally different.
Now what can happen is eventually in certain lineups and everything, if Neek and Keegan are on the floor together, because one of the things that I thought was intentional and that I think Doug Christie is going to love is there were times last night when Neek picked up full court and he showed his defensive prowess and his aggressiveness on the defensive end. And I think that is something Doug Christie is going to love. And if you get in a situation with certain lineups where Neek is out there with Keegan, that's only going to help Keegan out. And that's only going to help that defense out. So now you've got two guys on the wings, on the perimeters, that can guard, that can be aggressive. Neek can maybe slide down to guarding certain twos and things of that nature where Keegan doesn't have to do that anymore. He can stay focused on guarding threes and some fours as well. So,
bro, I think – overall, too, as we know, they switch so much. You just got to be able to hold your own in the switch. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to be hunted. Mm-hmm. But if you can hold your own and deter for a little while longer, that effort is probably even more so because they're going to switch, bro. You're not going to stay on that same defender for whatever time the whole game. So you got to be able to take those matchups, contain a point guard maybe or contest a shot, stuff like that with that length. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Because, again, we said before offseason, we needed more athletic wings.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a step in the right direction. Even the guy from Stanford, TC, I hear you, too, because I know my guy, you got to get in the gym.
Yeah.
We got to get in the gym.
There were some things last night that I saw that I have thoughts on. I thought last night was good. I thought what we saw last night was good because as much as anything we saw in Summer League, last night, answer some questions as well.
Who is that?
We'll talk about it.
For sure.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah. I got my man Coach JT. He rocking with me for a while.
I'm here. I'm chilling, baby.
He rocking with me for a while, man. D-Lo's out on vacation. KC and friends. D-Lo and KC, you already know what it is.
Yes, sir.
ESPN 1320. D-Lo and KC, you're on ESPN 1320. Got my man Coach JT.
What up?
Rocking with me for a little bit here on this Monday afternoon. I was talking about it. Last segment, we can talk about it some more. I loved what I saw from Neek Clifford in Summer League. He's probably in a perfect world. He's probably a two. I think he can play a little three, though. I think he plays a little taller, a little bigger than that 6'6 reported height that he has. But I saw some things from him on the wing and what he was able to do with his offensive game that I personally would like to see out of a three. And I only brought that up because a lot of people say that Keegan Murray should be at the three, should naturally be a three. And I'm like, hold on, player. I think he's a four. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think he's like perfect for it. I think he'd be great at the four, Keegan Murray. But just a lot of people are like looking at like a demotion or like it's the wrong. No, it's not bad at all. Like, he's good. He can't do the things offensively that Neat can do, I don't believe. And that's, for me, what hinders him from being a starting three most of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, once again, like I said as well, it's not like he can't ever play the three. Like, you can have lineups out there with him and Neek or something like that, or him and Max or something like that, or even Isaac Jones. We'll get into that as well, where you slide Keegan down to the three for some minutes, and depending on the matchups, yeah, he can play there. It's cool. But when you talk about starting and finishing the games, I like Keegan a lot more at the four. A lot more at the four. So we talked about that. I know you got some thoughts as well, but I know the people got some thoughts. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. I want to hear from you. And right now I want to hear from the birthday guy, man. I want to hear from the birthday man, my man Leezy, Air Horns, oh, Cancer man. Season.
Happy
you know
birthday,
what it is,
bro.
Man. Leezy, happy birthday, man.
Hey, thank you, Casey. Hey, remember, it's like I said, man, on the opener, you the main event tomorrow, bro.
Come
we
on,
out
man.
Here.
You know what it is, man. Hey, tomorrow.
Acknowledge.
Yeah, you know what it is, man. The tribal chief of Cancer Season is right around the corner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, what's up, Coach JT? Jesse in the back, Casey. My three brothers.
Okay,
hey.
Now he's doing the TCM for you. Okay, this is great. No, this is awesome.
Keep
go
the
ahead,
party
Lizzie.
Going.
I'm going to do it better than TC. I don't know what TC on today, talking about Jason Tatum or whatever. But anyway, hey, guys, I just wanted to call with a comment and a question.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with my question first. So
well,
my
question is. Do the comment. Do the comment first. Do the comment.
Oh, the comments. I don't think you're going to like it.
Okay.
So I've been watching a lot of Maxime, right?
Yeah.
And I keep messing up on his last name. But
Renault.
As you know, with his game, he can hit the three. And I was like, hey, what do you think about the nickname Maxime Ray Beam? Because he can hit the three. Beam team.
All right, man. What's your question?
Yeah, take a lap. After you're done with this call, take a lap.
Okay.
What's your question,
brother? That was Mark Jackson. Okay. And my question was, here's the real question. Going into this season, who are you more excited to see, Neek or Maxime? Because I started off as a Neek guy, but, man, Maxime, growing on me. Pause.
All right, happy birthday, Leezy. All right,
hey, happy birthday, bro, for real,
man,
dog.
Come on.
Happy birthday to a real one, man.
Not even happy birthday, it's just birthday, Leezy.
Birthday, Leezy.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna be Maxime Ray Beam. We're not
That's
doing that. We're not trademarking that, no sir.
Don't put that on any shirts.
No, we're not putting that on the shirt.
They ain't selling.
As far as who you're looking forward to, well, I think it might have been actually the reverse for me for that Leezy had. Leezy said he was anxious to see
Neek first. Uh-huh.
And then as the summer league went on, he wanted to see Max a little bit more. For me, I was anxious to see Max. And as summer league went along and the way that Neek Clifford was able to play, I want to see what this kid really can be in the NBA. So I'm probably going to go. I'm more interested slightly to see Neek Clifford on the NBA level and what he can be in Max right now.
Good question. I don't definitely because I know we need wings. I was excited, but I would say Max just because we need a five who can shoot the ball. Mm. I mean, that's what I was like. And it didn't look great. His shots got a little bit of a hitch too in the top of it. But I'm like, can he guard other centers? That was my question, but I was leaning towards him. I saw Neek, okay, I was cool, whatever, but I'm definitely going to see who that four or five, that five guy this summer was who can stretch the floor,
run the
DHO handoff that we try to do, a couple little backdoor plays. He can pass. He's not a bad passer, and I like to see him shoot the ball, so I would have to say Max, the other gentleman, or the other rook, because, again, Sabonis, as we know, right, he's kind of in a box. He's working in a 15 and in area. He may shoot a three here and there, but to see the other young fella step out the three, run the lane, make the passes. I was like, okay, I was more so high on him.
Yeah.
Going off real quick, what JT was talking about, said, see if Maxime can guard fives. Do we think that maybe it's going to be a bit of a slow start for him as far as just getting minutes, getting out on the court? Like, do we trust that he's going to be able to, well, do you think Doug's going to be able to trust he can be out there for however many minutes, just be all right defensively to stay out there? Because I know he can shoot and all that, but like, is he ready on that other side of the court where it's like, all right, we can throw him out there and trust him, you know?
I don't know if he's ready, but I
feel like Nick,
I throw him into the deep end.
Yeah.
I'd like to answer your question can we trust him with him? I'm not sure, but he's going to get the minutes. We're going to throw him in that deep end and see what it looked like.
Yeah, because I wonder if they got Eubanks for like however many games. All right, throw Maxime in there after that. I feel like it's going to be a little bit slower for Maxime than we're kind of expecting right now.
And okay,
I get what you're saying, but I feel like it is like Nick's the one where it's like the rookie, he's gonna get the playing time. Like, if there's a rookie who's gonna get the playing time, it's gonna be Nick, and then Maxime will kind of be slowly, not too slow, but just brought along.
I would respectfully disagree with Doug Christie if that's the way they want to go about some things. Like, no, like, we don't need Eubanks,
it's not even about Eubanks, it's more so wait till Maxime's like really ready to like help us out and stuff like that, where it's like he's not gonna hurt himself.
I don't see him.
Like, Eubanks is not the future. We know that, but yeah.
He's a little. I mean, what he brings to the table physically on defense to me is a concern. I understand you gotta let him know, and I'll ask this question too: who does he remind you or play like, or who could we potentially see that maybe started like him but then progressed? Anybody we could name that kind of had similar characteristics and then turned to something else?
I've been saying for a while. He reminds me. Not saying he's gonna be as good as this guy. I'm not making that prediction, but he reminds me of Sengun. You know, the way he plays on the offensive end, the way he can finish with both hands around the rim, can shoot it a little bit. He's got good vision. Reminds me of Sengun, even maybe on a little bit lower level. He reminds me of Big Vooch. Big Vooch out in Chicago.
Am I wrong for saying or just throwing this out there? Not good. I know overall as good. Chet kind of, like, the movement-wise, the shooting a little bit somewhat, but can – because he had a couple of dunks last night, too, off the drive. Off the drop-off, I was like, oh, he can get off the ground a little bit, but – he doesn't move as well, but I'm just saying.
Chet's I know you're talking about offense, but Chet's a better defender.
Oh, for sure. Now
he's a better defender, better rim defender.
If this young fella could be more aggressive on the defensive end like that, I think he would stick off the page even more, for sure.
And Chet, I think Chet has more, he's got more in his bag offensively on all three levels. He can handle the ball.
He moves pretty well, too.
Okay. But like, I'm saying no. I don't think he'll reach that level.
Yeah.
I see the comparisons. I see what you're saying. That's like the ultimate.
Oh no, yeah, for sure. But right now, I'm like, if he can defend the rim, come over, help side block, but then also be able to run the lanes, which again he does that okay. But then not settle. But also, I think just the physicality for him. Now, once he gets that, he could change. I mean, I think it'll upgrade his overall performance on both sides of the ball too.
So, you mentioned something about seeing him in the summer, seeing him yesterday. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that because I had some observations about yesterday as well. But first, before we do that, got my man on the line, man. It's my man Mitch. My man Mitch in New Jersey in the house. Yo, Mitch, what's good, baby? What's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening? Let me get off this A-pod. I was waiting for Jesse Tappy today, but Mr. T, he must be very busy.
Well, he is a busy man. What do you say? You're on the iPod. You got an iPod? What are you doing?
The ear thing. A piece of garbage. Don't buy it. Save me money.
Or earbuds.
Okay. The AirPods. Okay. I thought you were on an iPod. AirPods. I said, all right, what you listening to?
I'm listening to you guys right now.
It's a good point, Mitch. What do you want to talk about today?
Thanks, man. Mitch.
What's good?
No. I really don't like music. I mean, sometimes I fall off the wagon. I start with the music. I always regret it. I can't say I like the sports talk.
Oh, I'm glad you tap in with us.
What's the last concert you've been to, Mitch?
Probably Los Lobos.
Who? Los who?
Los Lobos. Los Lobos from East LA. They're a Mexican band. I mean, Jesse should know about that. My fellow Latino.
Fellow?
Half-half.
Wait, what?
Me and Mitch.
I'm half-half.
Really? Learned something new today.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you see me in my tweets, right, guys? Because everybody knows what I'm doing except for me. You see my name. I don't hide that.
Well, I didn't think – I'm going to say your last name. But I didn't think – that didn't scream Latin descent to me.
Yeah, I thought Cohen was just East Coast.
I didn't think that
Mitch's like,
descent.
Hey, y'all don't know?
Latin lineage. Hey,
my Colombian mom, she's God rest her soul and everything. I heard you, pardon me there, I mentioned USC, so I had a call, you know, drew down. He knew it. He threw out the line, and you wheeled me in. Well, first of all, I don't know what the Kings are waiting for. I mean, all these signs. I mean, I would take Chris Paul or Beal who's left now? Russell Westbrook and Timmons? He's afraid to shoot the ball. Mm. You know, I could shoot better, I think.
Well, maybe. Anyway. Maybe you're more willing shooter. We appreciate you, Mitch. Big ups to you. Shout out to Jesse's brother, Lynn.
Me and Mitch.
Yeah.
My brother. We learn something new every day, I guess.
Every day. Chris Paul signed with the Clippers.
I did see that, man.
He's off the market. And to answer Mitch's question, yeah, they might just be waiting for things to clear up and see what they want to do with Russell Westbrook. Or maybe they're waiting for Summer League to see some of these things with the Devin Carter or something like that.
So, first off, the quick Clippers take, though. CP, on paper, veteran squad. I mean, of course, basketball head, I'm like, okay, yeah. But I think they're going to be kind of slow. The game is played. They got a guys. They don't run as much, I don't think, as far as the pace for, I mean, the West Coast, you got to keep up. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to be.
I talked about it a little bit on the handoff. The Clippers are a borderline championship contender.
Oh, no.
Jesse, I see you looking. Now look, here's.
Are we talking about this now or?
We could. Let's hold off. Let's hold off for a second because I want to still talk about this King stuff. But yeah, yeah. I'm writing it down. I'm going to explain. I know.
No, I've looked into it too, though. We good.
I know.
But
look, yesterday I was watching that championship game of the Summer League, and I don't want to do too much. I'm not trying to do too much. I'm really not. But I liked it because it was a game. Like, there was some stakes. And I know it's not the NBA Charlotte Hornets, but that Hornets team that had been playing well all summer, they was getting after it. It was getting after it on the defensive end. They were getting after it on the offensive end. Their guys, Knipple, Sims, Dennis Rodman Jr., they were getting after it. It was physical. It was intense. And I feel not completely, not 100%, but you situations like that, you might be able to learn something about some people.
Yeah.
And Reynald, even Max to a certain degree, Devin for a lot of the game, they struggled a little bit. They struggled with that intensity, that physicality, in the way that game went.
It was real summer league-ish, though. It was some ugly basketball played. It was some ugly basketball being played. Certain spurts in the game, consistency, right? Even by both teams. Mm-hmm. So it was like, how much do you take out of that style of environment, of the lack of fouls being called? Because we've seen it was a lot of just, except for the on-ball screen call, got called a lot last night. The Kings were fighting over a lot.
10 illegal screens.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, it depends on that. I do say it was some takeaways. I mean, my three I was watching, maybe four I was watching, was the two rookies, Carter and then Jones, right? So I think Jones for sure for me, off the page. I like him. Both sides of the ball, effort, fine, attacking the rim, can shoot the three ball, does the effort on the defensive end. Carter, still like, man, after the big games, just the posting up guards, like, you're not going to be able to post up guys. Like, why are you trying that? And, I mean, I guess because to try to get a bucket when we needed it. Mm. But him in the paint often or trying to and just forcing up stuff for me wasn't it for me.
Yeah.
The Rooks, I mean, I take it for what it is, right? But I see potential in them, and that's a good thing, right? As we know, can we keep them and let them grow and develop? And that's the thing, like, right? Because you saw we need those type of players from both of them on our rosters, but now the opportunity needs to be there, right?
So, all right, we're going to break this down player by player a little bit. Let's start with Devin Carter. Devin Carter, for me, during this summer league, and we saw it kind of magnified a little bit in this game yesterday, made it perfectly clear that he's just not a point guard. Like, that's not who he is. He tried it. He did his best to work on being a point guard and work on point guard skills and all this other stuff and the mentality. He tried it. The Kings tried it. They wanted to see it. That's what summer league and stuff like that is for. Let's see what we got. Let's see if he can, how he can do in these situations. And it's just not, I don't believe right now that that's who he is. He's not a point guard. So now you got questions because I still think he's an NBA player. I still look at him as an NBA player. I still think he's a guy that can get minutes in this league. He's not a starter, but, you know, rotational minutes off the bench. But, okay, what is he? 6'2".
Man.
He's 6'2", and he doesn't really have natural point guard skills.
Mm-hmm.
He's not able to beat people off the bounce. His shooting is hit or miss. He's a pretty good defender. Like, what are we doing here with Kevin Carter?
That was my same feeling, though. Because of just the at spurts and times, it looks kind of wild. And this is people say often, like, just not sure what, like, that college style of play maybe he had been successful at. That was him. This doesn't work out here.
I was talking to Damian about this last week. Not going to talk with you guys or whatever, but, like, you just said it, KC. Like, Devin's not a point guard. Like, we learned that or whatever. He's not the backup point guard for this team. You look at the other guards on this team, like Keon, Malik, that are ahead of him. Hell, even Nick Clifford at this point. Like, you're probably going to play those guys ahead of him more. At this point, what do you even do with Devin Carter? Like, what do you, like, there doesn't seem like there's really minutes for him. Do you just stash the lottery pick that you drafted last year on the bench and kind of just, we called it burning an asset last week. Do you burn the asset there? Do you throw him in the G League to get him run? Where, I mean, we saw it last year. He was averaging damn near 40 every game, it felt like. Like, is that really helping him? Or, like, what do you do at this point with Devin? Like, do you keep trying to develop him? Or, like, yeah, what do you just do?
All the above. Everything's on the table. If you look at Devin Carter, you say, like you just broke down, he's not better than any of these guys that are on the
this is year two for him, right? This is year two.
He's not better than any of these guys on the roster ahead of him.
Mm.
He might be the MPCD for 20 straight games.
Damn.
If you have those options, and we'll talk to James Hamm at 3 o'clock, and maybe he could break this down a little bit, what this looks like. If you have those options and that ability to send them down to the G League,
mm-hmm.
and let them play, let them get reps, let them still work on some stuff, that could be an option as well. If you absolutely just want to move on from them and you put them in a trade for Kuminga, or I don't know, I think you would hang on to them just because maybe there's a bigger deal that maybe you can include him in. You wouldn't just give him away for a second rounder just to get him off the roster. You probably hold on to him.
Yeah.
So just in case an opportunity for a bigger deal comes up, you use him in that. But, yeah, he might be one of those guys that, yeah, we're just using him as trade bait.
But is he trade bait?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're throwing Devin Carter. Okay. Yeah, I need something else. Like, what's the value in him right now? I don't think he has much.
Now, look. I'll,
at this point, do you look at – is there even a team with a rookie that maybe they're kind of soured on to, or maybe
– you could swap.
Yeah, just say, this dude's not working on your team. This guy's not working on our team. Let's see if we can fix him. You can fix him. I don't even know if that team exists, but I figure maybe that's an option, I guess.
I'd have to look at these recent drafts, and maybe that is something that is on the table. I'm not sure just yet if Devin Carter doesn't have a place in this league or if he doesn't have a place with the Kings.
Well, I would say that because I'm going to start with Kings. I would like to start with that because given his style of play, or somebody's willing to accept him being a two guard or an off guard situation where he can try to, he can shoot. Again, some of the shots last night, I was just like, Or they have to accept his, let him play into a role where he's comfortable. He wants to try to score. He's going to give you the effort on defense, so you don't have to worry about that. But in a team in the world, okay, hey, man, you have opportunity to score and be aggressive how you want to be. Is that out there for him? That'd be the great question. If so, then that would be a team that we could trade with somebody. Okay, well, like Jesse said, we'll take your piece because we got a guy that wants to try to score at this size. We're not able to do that. You could take him. We'll take something else. Perfect. Because I still think he deserves a shot, but the style of is just not going to fit as far as what I believe what we're doing here. And he's just smaller.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the issue. He is an NBA player. I do believe he's a guy that can play in the NBA. But in this situation with the Kings, it doesn't feel like it's going to work out. And I'm willing to just not play him. Like, I know we talk about, or I should say not play him over these guys that are on the roster in front of him, whether it's Malik, Keon, Neek. Because
he would be like the 8th, ninth off the bench, maybe?
Yeah, off the bench. I mean, you're looking at just the wings and the guards. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Malik Monk, Keon Ellis, and Nick Clifford.
He's at least ninth right now, yeah.
Yeah, like that. And that's just the guards. That's not saying, hey, Maxime Reynolds is going to play. Or,
right.
Eubanks is going to play or anything like that. Like, guys at other positions that might come off the bench.
It'd be interesting,
Isaac
man.
Jones, all this other stuff. And
Isaac Jones going to make it tough for somebody, I believe.
Well, there's only so many minutes, too, for the ninth and the tenth guy.
Right, right. Like,
yeah.
Even with all the – like, we're talking about guys that can sub in. DeRozan and Levine and Schroeder, they're going to probably play 30-plus minutes a night. Like, there's just not enough minutes in a game for him to play. And if it got down to a situation where, you know, he's getting these DMPs, so be it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to just play him just because it's like, oh, we have to play him because he was a high draft pick and all this other stuff. I'm not doing that.
Like, not at this point either. I would agree too. You gotta lay a better foundation. And he got caught in the last draft kind of situation wise. So the fit, it's not a great fit off the rip. Like you said, you see Neat coming in, you're like, okay, yeah, I see him fitting. Yeah. You see Mac, okay, I see him fitting. Carter, you're like, oh, just even Isaac Jones, you're like, man, again, stretch the floor out, shoot the ball, rebound, defend, okay, decent. You just don't, I mean, Carter is that one, that question mark, like, but does he help or does he hurt you?
Go ahead, Jesse.
Well, how much of it with Devin is just, maybe we just need to accept
who he is.
The guy, well, that, but also the guy who drafted him, like, it just, like, it just was never going to work. Because the second he was drafted last year, me and Casey looked at each other, like, okay, like, that's not necessarily what you need or whatever. Right. This is like the second he was drafted, it was clear this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't work. And we've been talking about it since then, and we have no answer. Yep. How much of it is just, all right, yeah, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Maybe you just got to move on and attach something to him. Like, I don't know if there's a happy ending here.
And here's the thing, and we're just talking about it, bringing up old stuff, all this other stuff. You ask about where he could go and what he could do. I'm of the belief, I think we all are here, he's an NBA player. He's a guy that in the right situation, he can help out a team and be in the rotation. If you have that alleged or however you want to say it, original deal with Kuminga and the Warriors and them getting Devin Carter, Devin Carter can be like a GP2 in this league. He can be a guy that you bring off the bench that plays hellacious defense, that in certain matchups with Pods or Steph or whoever is the lead guard out there, you say, Devin, go out there, spot up.
Playing your role.
Play defense. Play, give me, you know, 7 minutes of hustle, hard-nosed basketball. He can do that. I think that's his destiny in this league. And that's vital. Like, teams need that. Like, he can be what we look at. Keon shoots it a little better and he handles it a little better as well. But he can be like a Keon Ellis-type player. For Golden State or other teams like that. I just don't know if it's going to happen here outside of energy.
Yeah, man.
Injuries.
Somebody in the chat was talking about just right. But it's his style. He wants to score. Like, any team, if he's – Golden State, I mean, yeah, we talked about GP3, but it's like,
You know, a lot of people say that about Devin. I won't necessarily put that type of label on Devin after this summer league. Because that was his role to score. Like, the Kings in summer league weren't going to win if he was just distributing the ball around. Like, he needed – and they're trying to win.
He might have been a little uber aggressive.
Yeah.
Or he has the opportunity to get more shots up, so he took them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And that's what they need. They were trying to win games.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
The actual team. I'm not saying the organization really cared about winning games. But the team was trying to win games out there in summer league. So to do that, he had to put up shots. And I think that's where some of the offensive aggression came from him. You get him in a situation with the Kings or any other team where he's just, no, your role isn't to score. Your role is to defend, knock down open shots when you get him and all this other stuff. I'm not going to say, and I'm not saying you were saying this, but I'm not going to say he won't be accepting of that.
Right.
And he's only looking to score. Like, he might be accepting of this situation this summer called for him to be more aggressive on the offensive end.
He's about 6'3"?
He's 6'2".
Okay, I was being generous because I saw him in person last summer. He came by the gym, too, and I was like, man, this guy's so – but I think that's probably the biggest issue. He's not super athletic at 6'2". No. If he was 6'4", playing this that style, he'd be on the floor.
And that's what I said.
I think that's the biggest thing. He's just – if he was about 6'4", 6'5", doing defensively rebounding and attacking the rim like that, 6'4", because those those finishings are different then. I mean, he'll dunk it right now if he gets open, but I mean, if he's 6'4", 6'5", doing that, it looks totally different.
Absolutely.
Then you're like, okay, now we're like, oh, put him on the court.
Absolutely. We just getting started. We're going to talk some more about this. We want to hear from you on the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. We heard Leezy on his birthday. We heard Mitch. We heard TC say Neek was giving him Tatum and Kobe vibes. I want to hear what y'all got to say, man, what you think about that. And we're also going to talk about Isaac Jones a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he showed out in the last couple games. I want to talk about that as well. And I want to break down some stuff with Maxine a little bit as well that we got into, but I want to revisit a little bit.
Okay.
D-Lo and KC. KC with you. Coach JT rocking me for a little bit. ESPN 1320. Sacramento's number one sports station. Yes, sir. D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. And I finally get an opportunity to give a shout out to our people over Baker Family Wines. I love this place when I went there. I didn't know that it was in that location before. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about a winery and stuff like that. I'm thinking Lodi, Napa, all this other stuff. No, they're in West Sac.
Right down the street.
There in West Sac. And we went over there to see the location and meet, you know, with the guys over there. The vibes were up. The vibes are absolutely up. The
nice
wine is fantastic. So I'm glad that we're working with them. I'm glad that they are rocking with D-Lo and KC because it really is a match made in heaven, man. So from the baseball diamond to the vineyard, my man Dusty Baker's journey is as legendary as his swing, man. And I'm glad the Baker Family Wines is rocking with us, rocking with D-Lo and KC. And I'm going to let y'all know, we got some things cooking.
That's what's up.
We got some things cooking with Baker Family Wines, man. So that's shout out Dusty. Shout out the whole crew over there at Baker Family Wines. Rocking with D-Lo and KC, man. Big ups.
That's what's up.
We were talking Kings before we went to break. We were talking Devin Carter, trying to figure out what he could be in this league after what we saw in summer league. And we're not sure. We're absolutely not sure. At least I'm not sure what he could be. Isaac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy that finished really strong in summer league. I think he had like 24 and 11 last night in the championship game.
Yeah.
He did some good things out there. But for me personally, I'm still not overly impressed Sacramento Kings wise. Sacramento Kings. Like, I think about Isaac Jones on the Sacramento Kings. And I think he can do some good things. But he's a fringe rotational guy. Or is this a guy that you want in a rotation on a nightly basis?
I want to see him play. Just had the opportunity again to watch him play. I know the pro-am here in Sac, just up close. Just watch his athletic ability, but then watch on TV. Again, even he had some spurts last year, but then with the Stockton Kings as well. I mean, last night he's, 3-for-4 free throws, made free throws, 6 rebounds. I mean, 11 rebounds. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? 24 points, but I will say the way he was getting to the buckets or getting to this impact plays, right? Rebounding. He crashed the glass real well. I mean, he offensive rebounds pretty well. He can shoot the three ball decently, especially the corner three. He's confident in shooting it. I mean, I think that's what the team needs. And again, having that dunker spot, or he can step out shoot the three ball because he's a lob threat too. You can drive and throw him the lob. He can catch it, and he can. He's not a bad passer either. He's not a bad passer. So I think I would like to see him play, man. Just get opportunity again. Again, I keep saying the way the style of the game is played, and he's younger. His energy is, I mean, I saw him lose balls on the ground, running, like, come on now. We got to get younger, more athletic at those positions to be effective, and he's one of the guys you got right there.
I think he definitely deserves a look. You know, whatever that necessarily means to Doug Christie, whether it means a look during training camp or a look when the actual season starts and getting minutes that way. But I think he deserves an opportunity. He's earned an opportunity to get a look. The things that I look at his game, because I look at the point totals and the things he was able to do in these last few games, and I don't feel like that
deceiving translates. You a little bit.
I don't feel like that translates to the NBA game. He's not as polished on the offensive end. Doesn't really have – it's just all high energy. So, and I'm not saying people are saying this, but it's not like he's going to be Montrezl Harrell on the NBA
level. Make that type of impact. Yeah, like
I don't see that in his game. But if he can find a way to shoot it a little bit more consistently, he had a big time three late in the game with the Kings down four. From around the wing, kind of almost on the top of the key.
After that was a big time three. The other gentleman hit a three, so that was a big shot.
Knipple hit that three. He answered right back to keep them right there in it. If he can obviously work on that and improve that level of his game, now we're talking about a guy who's in the league 10, 12 years. You know, that literally changes everything for him.
Yeah.
But even if it stays the same with how he is, I would look for him. He would need to be elite on the boards and defensively in his role for him to get consistent.
Elite, like, shout out to KC Tucker and somebody else in the chat said, too. To me, it's very similar to Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles is not elite at anything. He played a lot.
Trey Lyles, he can shoot the basketball. That's what kept him on the floor.
So,
but even in that point, though, Trey Lyles is finding his – he might not be on a roster.
But I'm saying, given the time frame, right, he's been in the league a lot longer. I don't see – I'm Jones-wise, I don't know if there's – I think there's similarities there. If he gets more reps and opportunity, it's very similar. He can pick, he can finish around the rim. He can run. He's a way better rebounder, I feel, than Trey Lyles will be because of his energy level. How active he is, like you said, his motor is high. That's going to be – needed to get those long rebounds, whatever he likes, stuff like that. So I don't see why it's not, to me, I don't think it's a big difference. Him and Trey Lyles, say, for experience wise, and I mean, it's similar gameplay to me.
But here's my point. Trey Lyles.
He might not be on the roster now.
Yeah, Trey Lyles, the Kings doesn't look like they're bringing him back.
But how long has he been on the roster?
The same trajectory of as Trey Lyles.
But more athletic?
Yeah, but a younger shooter.
How many threes? I mean, Trey has some games where he made a couple, a decent number of threes. Yeah,
Trey a shooter. That's damn near what kept him in the league.
But I think if you give Isaac them opportunities, he's gonna shoot the basketball. Now, can he make it going now? We'll see. But he's gonna. It's not. He's got a good, nice shot from. It don't look bad. It's not ugly. It's just the fact that, or say this right, coach. This is what we need you to do. You need to shoot make the corner three, rebound, and finish around the bucket and make your free throws.
Well, like I said, though, if he's able to do that, that changes everything about who he is as a basketball player. But right now, I don't have the confidence in his shot. That's why, I'm almost not even asking for the confidence in his shot. I'm asking you to be top flight on the boards and on defense. I think if I were to talk to Isaac Jones right now, I'd be like, that's your ticket to being in this league for a decade. If you can be a difference maker on that side of the ball. And I'm not here to say he's not. He might be. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that's his road to being in this league, because he does have good size, he does have good athleticism, and he's able to he's willing to work on the dirty work, right?
Yeah.
If he can hone in on that, that alone might keep him in the league for 10 years. If he's able to improve that shot as well as doing that,
I think that's the key, though. But I think even, I know we talked about the, as a team, we'll be better defensively, I believe, also personnel-wise and focus on detail with coaching-wise. I think he has to work on that shot because, again, the spacing he provides, he can go from the outside corner to the dunker spot to the high pick and roll, shoot the three ball there. It's going to make him more effective, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, it changes – once again, it changes everything if he's able to shoot the rock. If he's not, that's my whole point. If he's not, that's where you have to be top level – at those other categories, defensively and on the boards. Because if you're still a spotty shooter,
they're not going to guard you.
You got to be top level. Now, one of the things I was thinking about, especially with him coming off the bench, is maybe with a guy like Maxime Raynaud and him getting minutes, maybe at the backup center spot, maybe that works better with a guy like Isaac Jones, because now you've got the guy that's spreading the floor with the shot. It almost works in reverse.
Isaac Jones is the shooter, or the guy playing the dunker spot at that point?
He's a dunker spot. Okay. He's kind of around the basket a little bit more.
Right.
And Raynaud, with his ability to shoot the rock,
if you can space
is now, because I like situations when you have,
it's interchangeable too.
The shooter,
I like it,
and the post guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
The spread the floor that way when you talk about the big positions. I need the guy that can keep the paint clear, so Isaac Jones or Domantas Sabonis has the room to go one-on-one without people sitting in his lap all the time.
Now, that I kind of would – I don't see him go one-on-one with the back behind the basket. It's more so he's a drop-step guy, right? Yeah, but I see him interchangeable trying to shoot threes, but also he can slash or he'll get the weak side. If you penetrate, he'll slide for the dump off spot for a dunk, right? Mm-hmm. He'll create that space because he's not just going to stay at the high post and try to do all that. I've seen a couple games, even his moves in the paint is that 1-2 drop step, reverse pivot. That's kind of simple there. He's not going to give you a whole variety of bag work, but however, that offensive rebounding, the defensive rebounding, his energy and effort is something that he's creating extra shots, which I think we know as basketball players and coaches, you need those guys too, right? So if he can shoot that outside shot, but then create extra possessions for us, which we need. Even last night, we struggled to score early in the game. It was ugly. It was like, who's going to be one to give us a score? So if he gets that, I think it'd be better.
I agree with you and everybody else. I think he's earned the opportunity to get a real shot, to get a chance.
Hope so.
Being part of this rotation, being part of this roster, and see what he's done. He finished really, really strong in this summer league. And even last year when he was playing minutes because of injuries, and I think it was kind of right before Mike Brown was let go, he was doing some good stuff out there as well. You know what I mean? So I think we've seen enough of him in Stockton. Mm-hmm. We've seen enough of him on that G League level that I don't think we're going to learn anything different about him. I don't think he's going to necessarily grow as a player, still being this two-way guy, playing in Stockton, all this other stuff. You either got to figure out, like, hey, we're going to give him a real shot. Mm-hmm. We're gonna run some games with him being in the rotation, or you move on from
him. Got him go.
But the whole notion of him being this two-way guy again, I think we're past that with Isaac Jones. Maxime Raynaud, we talked about some of the things that I saw in that finals game yesterday with the Hornets, and it said some things to me. Maxime, one of the knocks on him, and I don't know if it's necessarily valid or not, but when they said specifically, I read in one of the scouting reports, he don't like to be touched.
Yeah.
And as basketball guys, you know, when somebody's saying that, it's like, get a little physical with him,
right,
and he'll back up a little bit. I thought that game got physical last night, and I didn't see him back up. I didn't see him shy away from the contact, but he wasn't as comfortable
shooting the ball. He didn't push back either, though.
Yeah, and he wasn't as comfortable shooting the ball, finishing around the rim, his little floaters and stuff like that. Could have simply just been an off night. That's all it is. I don't want to make it like, oh, we they'd answered some stuff or whatever. But you saw him in those intense situations, and it's not a knock on him or nothing. Like, he struggled a little bit. He struggled a little bit last night when things got a little bit more physical. And you wonder if that is part of that scouting report that people were talking about, which led to him falling to the second round a little bit.